Morning. How are you guys doing today? Kids in the crowd? Kids? All right, I'll try not to bore you, and I have a really good illustration later for two people who like apples in this room. So I'll try to keep you awake through that. As we've been going through this series, Dwayne mentioned last week, which I wasn't here, but I watched the YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to if you're not yet following. Right? But I've been following along when I'm out of town with work and things, but man, God has been doing some really cool stuff with this, right? First of all, didn't realize how fruitful the fruit of the Spirit was, right, in our own lives, right? These little things that kind of pop up and can be, maybe in normal life we just see love as love, but as Dwayne has shared, like, no, sacrificial love, deeper love is what God has called us to. So each of these words that make up this amazing pair have just kind of gone a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And for me, it really culminated when Dwayne was speaking about kindness a couple weeks back. And I don't know if you know, I sit over in this area or whatever, but like I got up before he was even done and closed the thing. And just to be honest, went back and grabbed my son, went out and sat on the picnic table and just wept with my son, who I had dealt with harshly earlier that morning. I just had this, like, urgency, let's get out the door, let's do this. Noah, why don't you listen? And just laid into him. And as a father who'd never had a father, it is hard to know a good example outside of the Bible, but the body of Christ has been that for me. Dwayne has been that for me. And so I'm just encouraged, and I want to encourage you today to make yourself vulnerable for those moments where God is going to call into your life a weakness that needs to be laid bare, as Jesus laid his weakness bare on the cross for us. And so will you do that with me this morning? When we hear stories of faithfulness from the Bible, we often think about like these amazing stories of like Enoch, who straight up walked into heaven, right? Like, come on, that's crazy. By faith, Noah condemned the entire world and built a boat to the modern or to the average person of that day that probably looked like a battleship to us, right? Like, what in the world is this for? This guy is nuts. Abraham made his home in a foreign land like a stranger and believed that one day the land would be his and that there would be a multitude of people that would inherit the same place. And for the ladies, Sarah had a kid way past when any of y'all would be comfortable, right? Right, exactly. So today, let's talk about faithfulness, not as a Hallmark card version of what we think is a warm fuzzy, but as an indisputable characteristic of God of the heavens, representation in the lives of those who call him Father. If you would stand real quickly for our scripture for the day, and before we get into the word, while you're holding the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to put one in your hands. Please take us up on that, whether it's BC Me or somebody at the welcome table after service. We would love to do that for you. If you've been coming to this church for a while and you don't come here with a notepad on Sunday, I want to challenge you to do that. I was challenged to do the same a long time ago, and it's never been void in my life. Dwayne spoke a couple weeks back about the fact that like 7% or something like that is retained of what you hear today. Know that this week, I have been put through a ringer for you so that I could proclaim the word of God for you, for your heart, and for your life. Dwayne, our amazing pastor, does this every week. Let's honor his time and let's honor our Lord with what he's called us to do with that, okay? Romans 4, 18 through 22. I'm sorry, I should have given you that before. It'll be up on the screen. I'll give you a second to find it. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So what is faithfulness? Well, in the Greek it translates to trustworthiness, or in the Hebrew, to a firmness or reliability. In the book of Hebrews, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Or simply put, to be full of faith and reliable is that. If you're a conspiracy theorist, it's the possible proof. If you're a kid in the audience, it's the shape of a box under a Christmas tree that looks a lot like that iPhone you've always wanted, or that Xbox 360, Xbox One, whatever it is now. I'm old. We're a Switch family, Nintendo. Anybody out there? That's what I'm talking about. One of them is real, one of them is fake. Now, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, I'm pretty sure that both of these things have a reality to them that is hard for us to find tangible. So, to my illustration in the crowd, anybody that's out there that does not have some type of an allergy that includes apples, I need two kids, probably above the age of 8 or something would be good. One here, anybody else? No, you're too big. One over here. Come on up here on stage. So, in this bag, I have one real apple and one fake apple. See, fruit illustration? Come on, Dwayne, where you been on this, buddy? Ready? Okay, you stand right there and face that way. Perfect, right here, and face that way. All right? I want you to hold it down here. You can't smell it. All right? Now, one of these is fake. Probably is going to taste a lot like wax or ugh. Could be yours. It looks a little bit discolored. I don't know that that looks real to me. You're trying to figure it out, aren't you? What do you think? Soft, right? Is it maybe real?
I think it's real.
What do you think?
I think it's real.
Why do you think it's real?
I don't know.
Do you hope that it's real?
Yes.
It's good. It's a good start. What about you?
I think it's real.
You think it's real?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it feels real.
It feels real. Yeah. Well, nobody out there can feel it. Can you tell them what it feels like?
Like a plain normal apple.
Like a plain normal apple. So do you have faith that it's real?
Yeah.
Yeah? A lot of faith? I told you one of these is fake. How about you? Do you have faith that that's real? Yeah? Don't touch it yet. Why don't you take a bite of that?
Yay!
Oh! Do you think yours is real now?
Yeah. Yes.
I told you, one of them is real and one of them is fake. How do you know? Are you sure? Are you sure that you're sure? You're so sure you'll take a bite of it? All right, let's see what you got. Oh! Thank you, guys. You guys can go sit down. Take your apple. So, totally forgot the apples this morning, so my amazing wife went to Publix about 20 minutes ago.
Yes!
Thank you. In life, there are going to be people who tell us that what we have is not real, right? There is this feeling that, like, but I know that what I have is real. And then there's this thing from the outside, right, where there's a disconnect that the world just doesn't understand what we have. And for us to try to explain it away and make it commonplace would just not do justice to the gospel. And so today I'm gonna use some examples that came to me early in my walk with Christ. Some of you know, but I came to the Lord in my 20s, had made many mistakes before then, did not grow up really in a Christian home. We were television Christians, if you know what that means, right? We watched it on TV, turned it off, and then went about our lives. But that was about it. And so when I truly dedicated my life to Christ, God just allowed for me, I think I had been a believer for less than a year, fully dedicated to Jesus. And we got a call from a friend. I was going to a church at the time, and a friend was a missionary over in Malaysia. And he said, "Hey man, would you be interested in going to Malaysia in 3 weeks? Okay, well, what's going on? Well, there's a youth camp going on there, and all of the counselors were coming from North Carolina, and they've all just kind of backed out last minute. Something happened with their organization. They can't be there. We need young leaders to come and help. I'm a new believer, so sure, that sounds good. Like, I'm really just figuring this whole share my faith thing out, but what better place to figure it out than in a Muslim country, right, where you can be arrested for that. You can put up the first picture on this thing. If you can see the pasty white guy in the middle, that would be me and my buddy Jonathan on the left and Matt on the right and a bunch of our campers at this camp. We decided to go. Why did I go? Well, I took a globe. Jesus says we're supposed to go to the ends of the earth, right? Well, if you take a circular globe and you put your finger on Florida, Malaysia is right there. It's about as far as the ends of the earth as I can go. If you're a flat earther, I'll explain that to you later. Essentially, I'm on a plane and headed to this country that I've never been to before. And I'm about to experience three people who radically changed my life forever. The first one of those, next picture, is a guy by the name of Rodney. And he is the pasty white guy in the back of that photo. A little pastier here because it's brighter. Rodney was a teacher, was born in North Pole, Alaska, and in his 50s decided, hey, retirement isn't really for me, and it's time for me to go and to actually experience what it's like to live on the mission field. Now, Alaska is a pretty strong mission field too, and there's a lot of heartache. You can keep Rodney up there because you're going to need to keep an eye on what Rodney looks like. So this guy retires, heads off to Malaysia, and decides to dedicate his life. He asks the Lord, "Lord, do me one thing. Allow for me every day to meet one person who needs to know you." By the time I met Rodney, he had been doing that for 10 years, and God had been faithful every year. Rodney's now been there over 20 years. Still to this day is doing that. One of the coolest stories about Rodney was that we went into a mosque. It's a tourist thing. You just do it in a Muslim country. It was the state mosque, the massive one in Kuala Lumpur. And Rodney stayed outside. He couldn't go inside because of the emotion that would well up in him for the feeling of lostness for this country and these people. And so Rodney would stay outside. And we would go in, and because you didn't cover your elbows and different things like that, the culture saw as that's not right. They would put you in these like pink robes. I wish I brought that picture. It's hilarious. A bunch of dudes in pink gowns. It's pretty awful. I think they did it just to shame you. But so Rodney stays in the parking lot. We're gone for about an hour. We come out. expecting him just to be sitting in the AC of the car, and there is a crowd of 20 people around Rodney. See, in the 10 years before, Rodney had so learned their language because of his love for them, because of his faithfulness to serve a people that were far from God, that he could speak to them as if he was their uncle. And when you would leave a meeting with Rodney and other people, they would all be calling him uncle before he left. Rodney not only got to know these people, but was making them laugh. Now, Rodney is kind of an awkward dude, right? I mean, when you watched him walk around, he kind of did the waddle, but he was fast. Have you ever seen a missionary walk in another country? There's something about that. I don't know. Somebody should write a book about it. But the guy could beeline through a crowd of 3,000 people like it was nothing. And Rodney just didn't seem like, by every standard that I would look at to say, well, can he handle this in this foreign country? Whoever approved this guy to be a missionary must have seen his heart, because there's no judgment of who he was and who he did on the outside. Rodney had these people in stitches, guys, in the parking lot. Like, they're falling over themselves laughing at the jokes he's telling, which are culturally relevant and, like, bright. I mean, just nails it. And when we leave and get in the van, Rodney goes, that was cool. I'm like, yeah, seemed like it. And he goes, well, they invited me to their wedding. What? Yeah, next week I'm going to the wedding. I was like, well, I thought you didn't go into mosque. He's like, I can't pass this up. I get to sit at the family table. Like, it's a massive, like, why would I not do this? And so Rodney went to a wedding in a mosque in a Muslim country as a believer. His faith led him to believe that God could do more than his outward appearance, than his language, than the things that were going on in his life. Last week, as I was driving through South Florida, I had just picked up, if you don't know, I work for an organization called Apartment Life. We help people from local churches who want to live on mission move into apartment communities to be the hands and feet of Christ. So I have this young couple, Andy and Brooke, and they are going to be Campus Crusade staff members, or crew. I apologize if you're crew people here. I use the old brand. But they're going to go work at FIU campus and serve this campus. And I found myself in this drive seeing the vibrancy of new ministry to them, the God that was faithful to call them and lead them was now opening doors for them. And how he did that was by giving us an apartment community where there was a believer owner who said, I want God's presence in the community serving, right across the street from FIU, where they were called to serve. Like, and it all came together literally within a week's time. Like, it just happened. And so, even in the middle of a renovation of our bathroom, my poor wife having to shower at her mom's for a couple days, I get on a plane ride, a Spirit Air, $28, to Miami. I get to Miami, and I'm driving them to their new home and where God has opened these doors widely. And I begin sharing this story about Rodney and who he is, and I begin to feel kind of just like God telling me, hey, on Sunday, this is the message. It's not that this worldly faithfulness, this worldly faith in the things that are solid, the things that we sit on, we believe, like you've seen the illustration, when you believe that chair that's below you is going to hold you way before you ever get on there. And you just kind of forget that belief that is there. But it's a faithfulness that is, when challenged and when so opposite to what our culture would believe, that something begins to break in that the non-believer can't follow you to where the believer's faith will go, right? I mean, many of you know my friend Doug. Doug is struggling daily with this reality that there's a family of people, which so many of you have loved him well. And he's in the hospital. Pray for him right now. But He asks questions about it because he just can't get it. There's something behind that love, and I'm all over the place, but there's something behind that love that he's not able to get, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can impart that, right? that God, the God of heaven, who he himself had faith, right? That Jesus would ultimately call out this plan that God would begin to unfold in him. Like, you're going to go. You're going to die on a cross. I'm going to raise you from the dead. And then all of sin will be forgiven. For all of those people who they themselves put you on the cross. Right? Like, what kind of faith does that take? That he is the author and perfecter of the faith because of these things, because he has walked this road, because he has done that. And so I find myself sharing that this to these young people and just beginning to say, guys, what God is going to do in you this year, it's going to blow your mind. Like, it's going to change everything. Last week, I was on such a high because one of our teams here in Orlando just baptized their neighbor who they had just been loving on for a year. Guys, how many of you dream to baptize your neighbors? Not many of us. But that's exactly what we're called to do, right? That's that faith in believing that God can do something different than we would ever believe. That craziness that is in our streets and in our neighborhoods and our communities, God has given you the power to walk through those things so that on the other end of that, his faithfulness will be made known to all men. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's the ultimate mic drop, by the way. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The next guy I want to share, his name is Fred. This is Fred. This is, I don't know how to explain Fred to my relation. Fred's family, let's just say. Fred's son dedicated his life in one of the youth camps we did in Malaysia. I didn't know much about him before that. His son was radically changed, and he came and picked him up, and somebody introduced us. And I got to spend a couple days at Fred's house because he was so excited that his son had chosen to follow the Jesus that he loved. Fred grew up in the village, which you can kind of see in the back there, in Tawau, Malaysia. And Fred's village and family, when you're born in Malaysia, you're born Muslim. You don't have a choice in that. You are, and that's the census data. You're Muslim. Fred, in his young life, went to he's probably 18 or so, went to a youth event at a church because a friend invited him, and so he went to check it out, which, again, throwing a basketball tournament is how people's lives are changed. Don't forget that. So Fred shows up to this thing. They talk about Jesus. It's Christmas time, and Fred gives his life to Christ. Fred believes and has faith, and a faith that only God can impart into him, heads back to his village and begins to tell people about his faith softly. He doesn't tell his mom and doesn't tell his dad and hides his Bible underneath his bed. And God begins to share with him, be bold, put it out there. Fred's friends begin to turn on him and beat him and tell his parents, who then also kick him out. Fred is homeless and decides the only place he can go back to is the church where he found Christ. So he goes back to this little church, and the pastor there said, you can sleep on the pews. Fred says, that'll work. We'll make it work. Years later, Fred would be pastoring from the same pulpit of the pastor who spoke Christ into his life. Fred is now the leader of all missions and all church planting in East Malaysia. Fred's son, who came to Christ, is now a worship leader and has an amazing wife and family that now live in North Carolina. Fred so believed, even around that time when his son was going wayward, that this Jesus was real, that his faithfulness and his love was so real, that he needed to go back to the States because of what he saw on MTV in the 90s. He couldn't believe that that America had lost its faith. And so he literally flew to LA, got on the street corners, and started preaching the gospel in LA. Did that for 3 months, gets back on a plane, heads back home, only to be arrested at the airport because somebody was following him there from the Malaysian government that said, "You must be crazy. Why would you go try to preach Jesus to the Christians?" Because everybody in America is Christian. And so they arrested him. In the boldness of that, he's not worried about life. He's not worried about all that's going on, all of these things that he should be worried about, that we would all say, "What about your family?" He makes a deal with a warden and says, "For every prison that you have here, which houses women and children, because when you're a woman and arrested there, the children come with you. The linens and the toiletries and all those things, warden, that cost you all this money, I will give you a church for every prison. I'll take away your budget that cost you so much money, and we'll have churches do it for free." And now there are churches partnering with prisons all around Malaysia because this man knew the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in his life. That's amazing, right? This is the type of thing that when I go to a hospital to visit a man who's struggling with even believing that goodness is real or exists in this world, I know it's real because I've seen not Enoch walking into heaven, not Sarah having kids past 100, but people today who live here today who really do know that there is a God in heaven who cares and loves us. So I briefly shared about the renovation mess in my house and my loving wife to make through those things. This week has been obviously scattered, as I probably am a little bit today. But in the middle of my week, this interruption of taking this young couple to be missionaries in a community where God is so needed was the right interruption that I needed. I'll be honest with you, I used to be a tile guy. Any construction people in the house? Yeah? That's horrible. I mean, it took me 4 years to grow the hair back on the ends of my knees. Like, seriously, I had these little patches. It was the weirdest thing you ever saw. So I told my wife, "Hey, when we moved in 5 years ago to this house, I'm going to remodel this. I got this. Here's my faithfulness on display for you this morning." Okay? We'll take care of that. But what God did in that home, he was faithful. God told us that house would be ours. 3 months after, three or four months after moving in there, a woman was murdered in the neighborhood. My wife is now in a place where she's not feeling safe. God continued to say, "No, you're called to be here. This is your place. This is your home." We began to see a neighborhood association come up, and they say, "Hey, Sean, will you take this? Will you run this?" I began to see neighbors coming to church with other neighbors because we're encouraging them in our monthly meetings as a neighborhood association. I'm praying with them. God was faithful through those things. So back to this renovation. I'm peeling off walls. I'm frustrated because there's ants in the wall. There's things broken. There's things just falling apart. And in this interruption of going to Miami one day while it's still in tatters, God reminds me like that he is the faithful renovator, that he is the faithful builder, that he knows what is needed. Guys, I'm going to be honest. I was grouting 2 days ago, worshiping, like straight up music blaring, like gone. It was awesome. I was still in pain, okay, at the end of it all. I still got like foot massages and stuff because she's amazing. But pain and beauty and obedience and just suffering. Jesus has been that and has done that since the beginning of time. In everything that is broken, he has been the healer. In everything that is needed to be made new, he is the only one who can do that. And in the people in our lives, we need to honor faithfulness. There's people in this room maybe that are struggling with something. Maybe it's the news that we see on TV that is hard to watch. Know that there is newness there. Know that in the school down in South Florida where a horrible shooting happened a year or so ago, do you know that there's a church plant now that meets in that school every Sunday? Because the principal of that school loves Jesus and knows the church needs to be there, right? There's brokenness and hurt, but healing from God's bigger plan and what he can do. So all of this reminded me that that scripture that says that he is the pioneer because he believed in the Father's plan, a plan that would ultimately put him to death. He had faith that God would raise him from the dead. So today I ask, what is it that God has told you that he will do? And what is it you must do to take that next step to run the race set out for you? A race is something you got to train for. It means you need to start with putting on your shoes, right? Basic things. You don't get out the door without opening the door or else your head hurts, right? These little things that you have to do. But there's that fear that kind of comes in you. It says, I don't know that I'm ready for those things. Jesus has called us to put off that fear. Do not fear this world, for I have already overcome this world. Worship team, if you'll go ahead and start heading up. I'm going to close this out. Today, let's lace up our sneakers. By the way, I haven't shared with you the third person for all of those DPL people out there. I'll close with that. Today, let's lace up the sneakers. Let's begin to prepare mentally what is before us and ask God to do or to be the wind in our back so that we can make it to the finish line. Whatever your race, be faithful, for he is faithful. Allow for him to so move in you. And allow the things of the church, of Sunday morning, to be the reminder to you that other people are with you. This isn't a place that I just come to hear a few words because I feel good and I walk away. If you are not in community in this church, you are missing out, and you are also not allowing somebody else to get the blessing of God's calling within your own life. Communion today, which we're about to take in, I will step away with. Communion is one of the greatest examples to us of something where Jesus says, remember me when you do these things. Remember my body and my blood, which I was faithful to sacrifice for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Church, we can be faithful. We can run a race. We can do things that are beyond imagination because of the blood on the cross that was shed for us.